Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live on the Drizzive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 45 at Ritchie Road, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, it's a Thirsty Thursday. I see my man Figgy out here at Buffalo Wild Wings. There's still some space and opportunity for you to make your way on out here. See people walking through. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, 3939 Washington Avenue here in Houston, Buffalo Wild Wings on a Thursday. Thursday, if you're in the building or you're on the way and you have not filled out your name and put it in our raffle box, you may want to do that right now or as soon as you come in. There's a big box right there. Come on over to our guy, Shea. He will help you take care of getting your name in the raffle box. Because coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, you have a chance to win a gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. Best spot in the city to get all your grilling and smoking needs. And in the 5 o'clock hour, our good friends at Bud Light, they have a really, really top-of-the-line cooler that you got a chance to win in the 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box to give yourself an opportunity to win. Bud Light girls will be here in a bit, and they will also take care of you as well.
Yeah, girl.
With different items for you as well. So it's a good time, a good party. Thirsty Thursday is always a good time. And there are TVs everywhere. If you want to watch playoff baseball, there are back-to-back-to-back games, three games in a row that you can watch. How about that? A.J. Hinch's his Tigers have taken the lead. All three of these games, by the way, Clint, are win-or-go-home games in which the loser's season is over. And the Guardians right now, they are trailing A.J. Hinch's Tigers 1-0 in the fourth. Cubs and Kyle Tucker coming up after that against the Padres. And then the Yankees and the Red Sox, Alex Bregman. And the Red Sox will try to eliminate the Yankees. And there's Thursday night football here on a Football Friday, an NFC West matchup for the second straight Thursday. We'll see the Rams and the 49ers coming up a little bit later. TVs all over the place on both sides here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on out and enjoy yourself. All right, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Jump in here. And hey y'all on YouTube. Y'all need to stop fighting now. All right, it's a community. We're having a good time. We got people that are threatening to block people.
There's a fight in the family?
Now. It's a fight in the family. Oh, I'm going to call you out. 99 Reasons, Cornbread, get it together now.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Now, damn it, we love all you. And somebody get Pals a damn sandwich. Okay,
we're all in the Drive sandwich. Family, man. Calm down.
Come on now. All right, we can disagree and think right now. Everybody be texting in on us talking about y'all so sensitive. Sound like a couple of y'all asses is getting sensitive. Reel it in. Get it together. All right, agree to disagree.
What set that one off? What set it off?
I tried to go back. I don't know. I see Cornbread. I'm putting it all out there, y'all. Cornbread just keeps referring to 99 Reasons as sourpuss, and he just keeps I mean, well, I knew it. I almost ducked in there. I see it come in, and he said, "I see old sourpuss is still going."
Hey, I played with a receiver in arena ball, and his name was Cornbread, and he was from, I believe, South Carolina, maybe, and he had that draw, and I don't know if Sirepuss was the go to, but it was damn sure one that he used. Boy, old corn. I know that ain't the same cornbread, but it
might be.
No, it's not. Nah, cornbread ain't. He ain't listening to H-Town Radio. He's out there in South Carolina doing his thing, I think. But,
but for a minute there, I thought you was going to say he wasn't with us.
No. Hey, Cornbread, boy, he had that old draw. He drawed them words out, man. Big old, just real, like real dramatic with his words. Golly, man, good old times, boy. Yeah. Old Cornbread.
Let's continue to have good times here, fellas, over there. All right, I don't mind y'all going back and forth. We could threaten to block people and stuff like that. Man.
Hell, it's better than threatening to whoop somebody's ass or kill somebody like Liam Cohen
does.
Well,
I mean, you remember that time, Tyler? We did have people out here on here talking about trying to meet up.
Oh yeah,
I forgot that one time. Somebody said, "Let's meet up."
I'll see you in the parking lot.
Well, no, they said right off. I think they said right off Katy Freeway or something. They tried to meet up. They wanted to go. I said, my God, what is going on around here? Oof. Get it together, you two, please. All right. So, Clinton, I want to get your thoughts on this too, Tyler, because you had dipped out at the 5 o'clock hour to go to the fan council yesterday, and I want to get your thoughts on this because I think, Clinton, you've made it very clear. You've had a little time to sleep on it. Your expectations, all right? The Texans are 1-3. You've watched all four of their games, every single play. And, yes, they have a ton of injuries. If you are not aware of them, Lamar Jackson has not practiced all week, and reports are that he is likely out for Sunday. Ronnie Stanley, their Pro Bowl left tackle, he returned to practice today, but he's got an ankle. He had to come out of the game early. Patrick Ricard, their Pro Bowl fullback, has not played in multiple games. Almost called him Justin. Nnamdi Matabike, he is out for the season. Broderick Washington, another defensive lineman, he is out for the season. Marlon Humphrey, maybe their best corner, at least their highest paid one, he is out. Roquan Smith, their best defensive player, he is out of this game, already declared. Travis Jones, another defensive lineman, missed the last couple of games. He's been practicing, but he's not 100%. Wiggins, their other corner who's been playing, Nate Wiggins, their best, he's been playing their best corner this year. He returned to practice, but he isn't 100% with an elbow issue. They got a lot of guys that are either out or are going to be hampered and not 100%. And important guys, you know, like Lamar. Is your expectation, where is your expectation at right now? Is your expectation that they win on the road in Baltimore? Is that your expectation? I don't mean hope. I don't mean anything. Like, you expected them to beat the Tennessee Titans at home, and if you didn't, and if they didn't, it ain't just like, oh, damn, we lost. No, you'd be completely disappointed and look at this team differently. What is your expectation with all the injuries with the Ravens going to this game on Sunday?
My expectation is simple. It's a must-win football game. It is a must-win football game. You are at a fork in the road as an organization, as a team. You're at a fork in the road. We understand at this point in time that you're not going to be as good and as successful as we thought. It's not going to be a surefire win a division. You know, have a chance to get beyond the second round of the playoffs. Like, it ain't going to be that easy. But we're at a fork in the road of either you get back on track or take a step towards getting back on track and being a team that can win the division, or you lose this ball game and we're staring a 4 or 5 win season in the face. That's I expect them to win this game. Absolutely. I think this is a must-win football game.
Oh, yes. See, I agree it's a must-win football game. And I've been thinking about this because I was listening because Chris Santiago was right here with you. Not just must win, but damn it, they should win, right? If they don't win, you're going to be pissed off at the post game show. You're going to be beyond disappointed on Monday.
If they don't win this game, I'm going to buckle up for a long ass season.
Yeah. Let me get you out of the way, Tyler. If they Not that.
I don't know if I like the way you put that.
That came up poorly.
Well, let me not waste too much time here.
Not get you off the way. I'm trying to gather my thoughts on how I feel about this. But is it? I agree with him. It's a must win. But Tyler, do you think it is like you expect them to win? Like you expected them to beat the Titans?
I'll try to get this, you know, out of the way real quick here. But it's two-sided for me because, like, in my mind, like, logically, trying to be objective, I can't because I've seen this team too many times in recent years lose to Jacoby Brissett's and quarterbacks of that nature. So the quarterback situation alone is where I think with that. But logically, I can't do it, but with my heart and my fandom, I want to be like, hell yeah. Hell yeah, they need to be leaving Baltimore with a damn win.
See, I agree it's must win.
Sorry that took a little longer than I wanted.
I texted 713-572-4610. Are you going to be pissed off if they lose this game the way you would have been pissed off if they lost to the Titans last week? I can't put it in that space. I agree with you that it's must win, and if they lose this game, you know, hey, put the straps on. When you look at the rest of their schedule, boy, if they lose this game, they're probably liable to lose to anybody but the Titans. And hell, who knows on the road with where the Titans are going to be.
I'll be there. They better freaking win.
Oh, God, you're going to be there. Oh, my God. Why did you? I forgot about that. Yes, and you sent us. You sent us your flight information.
This could be the worst one, boys.
This is terrible. I think they found something, as I said earlier this week in the fourth quarter, but I don't think right now they've shown yet that they're a good football team. The Texans, they haven't shown that. And it is hard for me to have the expectation of a team that's not a good football team to go on the road to the expectation that they beat a team that has a winning culture, that has Derrick Henry on it, that has, you know, a borderline Hall of Fame coach in John Harbaugh. It is hard for me to just say that I would expect and that I would feel the same way about them losing a game to the Ravens on the road, depleted they are, that I would feel about them if they'd lost last week at home to the Titans. I had pure expectations. I would have crushed them on Monday if they lost that game. I don't know that I have the expectation that this team goes on the road and beats a team like that. And I think everything you're saying is correct. They should have a heavy advantage. Hell, Vegas has them as favorites now.
Yeah, look, I think all the things you speak of in terms of a healthier franchise, a culture, a winning chemistry, and I think to me the Texans have all that stuff. To me, the Texans are on par with from a
talk about their organization, program.
What DeMeco has built here over the last 2 years, I believe, is on par with what Baltimore has had for the last 10. Eight, whatever it is. I mean, but I think when you talk about culture, when you talk about depth on the roster, like solid roster through and through, solid depth, you look across the board, with the exception of the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, I think things are pretty similar. And now you throw in all the injuries to Baltimore. I just think this is one you got to be able to overcome. So, yeah, I expect knowing who the Texans are right now, I expect them to be able to slow this offense enough to where between the defense and C.J. Stroud, they can make enough plays to win this game on the road.
Text line coming through. They must win, but I can easily see them losing. They must win. I can see them losing this game, unfortunately. I'm with Tyler. I won't get pissed if we lose, because what scares me is Baltimore doing a next man up mentality like we did last year. Instead of getting our asses kicked, we may lose a close one. Logically, we should win based on having some
Well, I'm not going to read.
Well, I think the loss for me is more about the rest of the season, man. I mean, I'll tell you.
I'm with you on that.
I'll tell you again about the graphic that I saw. And it was nice that the Texans were at the top, but it was the fewest points allowed per game, the best defenses as it pertains to points allowed. The Texans were at the top. There were six teams on the graphic. The Texans were at the top. Beautiful. The next five defenses, they're all on the Texans schedule. Yeah. Right? If you can't go up. And look, I don't think
Indianapolis weren't one of those five.
There you go.
They do play on the road, both of them.
There you go. and so if you can't go outscore a Cooper Rush led offense against a defense that is giving up 30 side points a game through four games, then you have zero chance of scoring against those defenses.
Because the Texans have the clear advantage at defense and overall defense and quarterback. If Cooper Rush is playing, right? And I don't know, maybe even if Lamar, if he's 75%, yeah. You take his legs away, they've got an advantage those spots. But maybe you disagree. I think they have a coaching advantage, the Ravens, just overall
yeah,
staff.
Everything.
I think they have a coaching advantage, especially, yep. You know, if Todd's not drunk.
Yep.
I think they have the better skilled guys.
Yep.
Overall, when you're talking about Derrick Henry and Andrews and Flowers – I think they have that, and they're at home, and they're desperate too, right? Like, they're 1-3 when they didn't think they would be 1-3. They're desperate too. I think I'm going to pick the Texans tomorrow when we do predictions. I think I am, but to have the expectation, I guess for me, fellas, I feel the same way I did about them playing the Jags. I think they should win that game, but I don't know that I have 100 – like, I have expectation – that damn it, they better not lose to them. I had that last week. I don't know if I can get there. Someone texted and said, if we lose Sunday, Black Greg said if we lose, I'm done. It's Rocket season. If we lose this game, I'm gonna keep it a buck. We ass coming in from the text line. their inner Cam Ward. Yeah, man. The beginning of the year, Clint and Tyler, all day. No, they better win this game. They better win it. If at the beginning of the year, coming into it, what I thought this team would be. But after I've watched them for the first four games, you know, it's hard for me to say, boy, they got to go in on the road in Baltimore against a, yes, depleted, but a team that's got Derrick Henry and, you know, some of the guys they have over there that's been through it. All right, coming up as we continue, there's been a four-game sample here. And Nick Caley probably has more of an understanding of what he has and what his offense can do. Who are the, you think, gotta have in the game plan, make sure they get touches guys on this offense now that you've had about a month to watch this team play? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back to The Drive as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, 3939 Washington Ave. I see in the loops in the building. Reggie's here. Did Figgy bounce?
No, he's here.
No, he's back there. Figgy's out here talking to the good people out here. Say what's up.
I'm always good raw dogging the drive.
That's right. That's Reggie. Always good raw dogging the drive. I guess I've been finished that part off.
Who wouldn't be?
Who wouldn't be always good at raw dog? The drive is Reggie is. But make your way on out here. Put your name in our raffle box. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock hours when we will start to hooking folks up with prizes. By the way, it is a Thirsty Thursday. Tomorrow is a Football Friday, and we're back at the spot in Sugar Land. We'll be at Talliard's, right there near the Space Cowboys Stadium, right there at Talliard's in Sugar Land. Come on out with us tomorrow as you got a chance to win Texans tickets, courtesy of our good friends of our Houston Ford dealers. Also, multiple prizes as well. Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards, Oil changes from Tom Ball Ford. There are a plethora of things that you can win. Come on out tomorrow. Sugarland. And shout out to my guy who he went over to the Buffalo Wild Wings off 45. Man, I texted you a little bit. Next time, man, come on out. I know you said you couldn't get back over this way. Come on out. The next time I see you, I got a drink, man. I got you for a drink, a beer.
Did you specify a beer on?
No, I got you for a drink, but let's. Oh, okay. But then when you get in, let's kind of communicate on where we are going to go liquor wise.
Nah, you come in and you go top shelf, and it's on that guy right over there.
Mid shelf.
Come on, man. He wasted mid gas getting to 45 location, man.
Listen, hey, man. This was clearly a January, February conversation. You could just march your way on out here as I'm talking to that gentleman. All right. Hey, here we go. We'll talk about, you know.
You got
the drinks.
A name?
I ain't got a name on him. You're right. I could just do that with anybody, Kenny. Yeah. Well, never mind then. I mean, nobody's out. Sorry then. The intention was there. You have to prove yourself to me. But no, man, we appreciate you taking the time to come out and hang with us. All right, Clint, it's been a four-game sample size, and I see some people texting in their thoughts on this. And right now we've reached four games, right? You've gotten a chance to see your offense. We started to see some guys developed into bigger roles. Woody Marks, for example. We saw an emergence of Higgins with a big chunk play for a touchdown. We're starting to see it, right? Christian Kirk is back. We're starting to see it. And I would say if you're Nick Caley, you've had a month's work plus training camp, four games. As you look at it, and I know you in your times, you know, in the NFL and college, all right, we gotta make sure going into the week that there's certain guys we want to get touches. Certain guys, we want to make sure we get involved in the offense and not just accidental touches. We're going in with intention to make sure they get the ball in their hands. How does that work out and form in your opinion now? Who are the guys, if you're Nick Caserio and you are the offensive staff and D'Amico coming together, going into weeks now that you're saying, all right, we've got to be extremely intentional about getting these guys the ball?
Well, I think it's Nico Collins. It starts with Nico Collins. You've got to find a way. This can't be your offense, right? I mean, you've got to find a way to get him the easy touches. I don't doubt that within the system, you know, he's going to get his touches. And when they man up, if you're going to throw go routes to him, that's great. You know, he's going to get those. You got to find a way to incorporate him into some of the other things that you're doing creatively. Get the ball in his hands with screens constantly. Maybe hand a jet sweep to him somehow, some way, kind of thing. I don't think that it's as paramount right now to use him all over the place as I once thought it was going to be. But definitely you got to find a way to get him creative touches. You got to find a way to generate 3 to 4 additional touches for Nico Collins simply because you don't have an array of athletes that are touching the ball. You got guys that are catching the ball and can't go anywhere. You got guys that you're handing the ball to and don't have the speed to turn the corner. And so I think it starts with Nico Collins.
So Nico's the easy one, right? That's the easy one.
That's
who,
the easy
who one. Is it that you're saying that's next?
Woody Marks. I mean, Woody Marks.
He's second now on the list.
Yes, Woody Marks is a guy that I think you got. And I think this is just a matter of keeping him in the game because obviously they're going to run the football enough to where you're going to turn around and hand it to him enough to suffice. But the key is he clearly is your best – pass catching back, and he's clearly your best open field running back. And so you got to keep him on the field. His snap count's got to go up. I just say that in a sense of like he's got to be the guy that you're checking it down to. When CJ Stroud's getting through and being conservative and minimizing risk, you got to make it easy for the quarterback to get the ball in the hands of guys that can absolutely go make plays and guys that can give you chunk plays out of nothing. And I think Woody Marks, it's easiest now that you know he can pass protect and you trust his pass protection, it's easier to keep him in the game for more snaps, and therefore he'll get more touches on those checkdowns, on the running back screens. And I think that's got to happen. Now, it's nothing any more intentional than just the snap count's got to go up. He's got to be in more. And then I'm going to tell you, man, I think, and we're going to talk about this.
Christian Kirk, right?
No. I'm gonna tell you, man. I think they've got to find a way to get Noel the ball. on offense. I think they've got to find a way.
You think they need to come into the week trying to make sure they have a game plan in which they know they're going to try to get him the ball?
Yeah, you just lack explosion. You lack speed. You lack twitch on the offense. And he clearly is a guy that's sitting on the sideline that has those things. And I think you gotta try to manufacture some touches for him as well. I mean, look, I like Xavier Hutchinson, and Hutch is gonna get every inch of every play and every blocking scheme that you give him. He's gonna get every inch, and that's it.
Yeah, but right? I don't think you have to go in and saying, "All right, man, we gotta get." Because I'm honest to God, I think they've done that before.
What?
I think they've said, all right, man, we're going to get him around on the jet sweep.
Who, Hutch?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's their jet sweep guy.
I think that's – I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah, I think Noel's got to be that guy. I think we're – you said small sample size, four games, and it's obvious to me right now that you need some young legs, you need some speed, you need some twitch, and I think Noel's that guy. I think he's been here long enough now to where he's been in the offense for a few months. He's probably focused more on the return game than he has offense over the first month of the season, but now I think it's time that he is the guy that I think can give you that extra pop. I just don't believe Christian Kirk is gonna right now is there. I don't believe
that's crazy. You'd have thought he would have been number two on the list.
Yeah, I don't believe Hutchinson's that guy. I think when you look at Higgins is another Nico that's more of a can do what he did last week, kind of a bigger body red zone matchup that can give you an advantage.
You don't think you've reached a point where you're like, all right, I'm going into it, man. We got to make sure we get some touches for Higgins.
Nah,
he's not reached that point.
But I think Higgins is a
– just play within the offense.
He's in it within the offense guy. I think Christian Kirk is within the offense guy. I think Nico's the one you got to find a way. Woody Marks you got to keep in there. And that's Woody's more of an in the offense guy. Just got to be on the field. I think Noel's the one that's got – we've seen it on the return. We've seen that little hesitation, that little hezzy, and then he goes. Like we've seen – there's something about Jalen Noel. There's something there that's untapped, and they got to figure out a way to – if you didn't need it, I wouldn't rush it. But I think this team needs it desperately, and so I think he's the one.
Text line says I would have 86 on that list ahead of Noel.
Of what?
Of guys, game plan, make sure you get touches to Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. I think that point is very, very valid. I think within this system, I think your tight end is going to be absolutely critical, particularly in the first half of games, as you kind of establish what you're doing. But the reality of it is, Dalton, you don't have to game plan to get Dalton Schultz. Hell, three of the four top tight ends on this team are injured. You don't have to game. He's going to get plenty of opportunity.
You think he's just by the fact of how many guys are out at his position.
Yeah,
he's within the offense.
To the texture, I mean, look, I would argue that if we're just looking at this offense schematically, how it ticks, I'll argue that Dalton Schultz getting touches and targets early is more important than anybody on the team, even Nico. Just in terms of, you know, explosive and you know, in terms of being the best version of the offense, obviously you got to get Nico involved. But if you want to look at, hey, if Dalton Schultz is getting –
does he open up stuff?
Yeah. You know, if Dalton Schultz is getting targets early and he's getting quick catches early, you know, okay, this offense, they're setting something up. They're staying ahead of the chains. You know, CJ's playing that brand of quarterback where he's getting the ball out. He's not hanging on to it. That Dalton Schultz production in the first half of a ball game, I would argue, is the biggest tell of whether this offense is kind of on track and doing what they want to do.
Yeah, I want to see if our listeners and the members of this show can be objective. As we talk about the Texans, let's look at college football. Who are you more confident in that can win the SEC right now? Texas or Texas A&M? My man threw them.
Is that serious?
This man, my man right in front of me threw them horns up right there. There you go. He said Texas. Honest to God, be objective. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Ain't nobody got no money like Texas A&M.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
MLB playoffs are on
and roll in the first of the three elimination games. You can catch that right here at Buffalo Wild Wings here off Washington Avenue. The Guardians and the Tigers, they've been playing tight games all three, and they're in another tight one, 1-1 in the sixth right now. The winner moves on to the ALDS. You can watch that right here, although Tyler says he's not watching it. I believe Tyler is hate watching the Yankees. There's no way. That
not a second.
I believe you. You're not hate watching them?
Nope.
Y'all ain't hate watching the Yankees?
I loved hearing about them crumble in game one, but nope.
You got the Yankees, and then you got Bregman playing for the Red Sox. Y'all not hate watching them? I just got to believe you are. I really do. It's all right, but they get going later on. They've got the last one tonight, but as I said, TV's all the way around here at Buffalo Wild Wings. You can catch.
That was a hell of a game last night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Jazz Chisholm, who somehow got benched the night before.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is exactly why it's so damn silly. Right. Obviously, he is an extreme example of a guy you would never sit no matter what. I mean, with his numbers and who he is. But last night is a perfect example. As they were making the point the point was all the Yankees had a hit at that point except for him, I think is what it was.
And, yeah.
And that point they were making was, well, he didn't play yesterday, so he didn't get the looks kind of deal.
And he got a walk.
As he walks, and then promptly shows you why he should never be left out of the lineup.
Because he could just get on base, and in Yankee Stadium down that short porch, he could score from first.
Which he did.
Can we just be honest about Jazz? Mm. How much weed does that young man smoke?
A lot.
What makes you think that?
And it's no judgment. There's just
how
signs.
Much weed. It just.
I just know what's the indicator?
Them lips. Listen.
What's wrong with his lips?
Them lips. Hey, listen, Jazz man.
Are they dry?
They dark as hell.
Dark.
I sit back and I have been smoking in the Bahamas. Somehow he found his way to Wichita, Kansas, at the age of 12, and slid over there. But I look every time I see Jazz, I'm thinking that Jazz is he's hitting it daily.
If he is a smoker, he had all the reason to smoke the hell out of it the previous 40 hours.
He probably went in there every time I see Jazz, we was in there watching. I said, Courtney, look at that. How much? When the last time you think he smoked? She said, who? I said, look at the TV. She said, oh, damn. Just pull up a picture of Jazz Chisholm. Just look at him. He can't hide it in his regular photo. Just pull it up. And you're like, damn. He looked like he got a long thumbnail. But my man Jazz, dude, got that long. Jazz got that long thumbnail. All right. I said this. Ooh, thank you. I said this on the other side. Who do you have more confidence right now that could actually win the SEC? And by the way, I guess first before we started, Tyler, you're not allowed in this portion of it.
That's fair.
Do we believe both Texas and Texas A&M are teams that are legit capable of winning the SEC?
No.
Hey, I mean, look what we've seen from Texas. No, I mean, there's no reason to believe that they can win the SEC, no.
You don't think so? So you wouldn't put them in a category of as a team that you're like, all right, yeah, they can win the SEC. You don't see that. You need to see ready
no,
to do
no, no, no. Look, I hadn't studied every game that they've played, but every time I've turned the TV on against far lesser opponents, I don't see a team that I believe is gonna play for an SEC championship this year. I don't see a quarterback that's going
to
get them there.
Know your answer to this,
I don't see offensive speed that's going
to
get them there.
Longhorn Nation.
I don't see it. I don't see their problems getting fixed as quickly as some would like.
Yeah. I guess we'll learn. I mean, I don't know what we'll learn against Florida, but they got Oklahoma. They're without their quarterback too.
Well, I mean, look,
we'll see.
You go to Florida and you play well and you put up some points and you go on the road and win by double digits and their defense is absolute money. Their defense is going to keep them in damn near every game
because they're both of these teams, as I said, A&M and Texas. Both of them are in the top 10.
Yeah,
A&M 6, Texas 9. They both.
have played a tough opponent. And I guess A&M's played two tough opponents if you count Auburn. Yeah. They went on the road and won at Notre Dame, and then they lost at Ohio State, but they haven't really played anybody since then. So you would say A&M. You'd be more comfortable thinking A&M would
be. Look, I think A&M right now is on a trajectory to play in that game and have a chance to win it. I think their quarterback's playing really, really good right now. His quarterback should be in the Heisman talk at this point in time. The team has won some tough games. The product at A&M right now is pretty convincing. If I had to pick right now, if I had to bet on one of those teams winning,
I certainly trust their quarterback.
Did you say
more.
Going to or winning it? It doesn't matter.
Going to you can compete for you.
No, I would go with the Aggies right now for sure, based off what we've seen this year. And I got to go home and sleep with a Longhorn.
Text line coming in. Clint, you tripping? LOL. Hook 'em. I definitely trust Tyler.
I'd rather my wife be happy than Tyler be happy.
Tripping,
I'm just telling you.
I'd rather my wife be happy than Tyler. I trust right now. I trust Reed more than I trust Arch. Clearly, from what we've seen, especially in the big game he's had to play in. Now, I look at the numbers and I watch the game, Tyler, and I still don't know how they just scored 16 points against Auburn.
That game was weird, man.
It was weird. I don't know how they just scored 16 points. I mean, the numbers wouldn't say that, but I trust them more, and I think right now we'll see. I think Texas has to do something in this little middle part they have in their schedule to kind of – and they've got opportunities. Like we said, they got Florida coming up next. They got Florida, Oklahoma, and then they get into that stretch where they play Georgia and A&M. Two of the last three games of the season.
You got two games to prove that you belong, and the narrative can change if you're Texas. These are schools that if you're going to compete for an SEC championship and if you're going to compete for a national championship, you should win these games, especially with Oklahoma's quarterback down. These are games that a championship caliber Texas team that has all the pieces should go handle these games on the road and show that you're beyond those early season growing pains and you're Texas of last year. And the narrative can change. But right now, no. I mean, there's not – I mean, you look up in the score in the second half and they're playing a Division II team and they scored 14 points, 13 points.
Was it a
points.
D2 team?
No, it wasn't.
Was it UTEP?
No disrespect.
Was it UTEP?
No disrespect.
Damn, are you trying to – ran UTEP.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – and then you're flexing over Sam Houston. I mean, that's not a – it's not a real convincing product right now.
So that's interesting. You don't see Texas as – like they're in the top 10 with one loss. You don't think they're a real – a big threat to win the SEC right
now?
No, not right now.
Not right now. No, I don't. Not right now. I mean, it's the luck of it here is it's not a typical Georgia team. It's not a typical Alabama team.
Yeah, Ole Miss looks like they may be the best team.
Right, yeah. I mean, and even that's not – well, at least beginning of the year with the backup quarterback going, that's not a typical Ole Miss team, right? You look at what's going on at Tennessee. Their quarterback leaves and go to UCLA. They may be better off because of it, but it's not your typical SEC right now, and so it's there for the taking.
LSU, who has looked good at
times.
At times, their but offenses, really defensively, yeah. They're all, it feels like they should be scoring more than they do.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's a wide open year in the SEC, and I think when you talk about teams that aren't who they were expected to be this year thus far.
South Carolina, but
I think Texas is in that group. I think right now A&M is in a group of, we thought they were going to be pretty damn good, and we thought they could compete if this, and this happened, and it looks like this, and this has happened at A&M, and they're playing good ball while everybody else is out there struggling. Not everybody's not struggling, obviously, but it's just not your same old Georgia, Alabama, LSU, SEC. The landscape has changed a bit, and A&M seems to be rising to the top, and Texas is struggling right now.
Cream always does.
We'll see. Listen, Tyler, I trust A&M more. But their schedule too, man. That A&M schedule, that's the tripping point there. Where, I mean, like, they're like my wife believes Missouri's got a shot. Out there with what they've done. Somehow they have played their first five games all at home. I've never seen that. But I mean, A&M's got that stretch where they play, they play LSU, Missouri, South Carolina, Samford, and Texas to end the season. Well, that's a tough stretch right there, and we'll see what they look like coming out of that. But someone said UT is going to be a four-loss team this year. I don't know
we'll see about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that. I'm not ready to trust them. I'm not ready to trust them offensively. I'm not ready to trust them offensively yet.
I can see it. All right, what you got coming up?
All right, should the Texans already, because this is early for this, y'all, but should the Texans be preparing to aggressively pursue a wide receiver in a trade? Is it too early or not? We'll discuss right here on Sports Radio 610. That's next.
Gig 'em.